Thank you. My name is Anton. I'm from Civil Engineering. It's a very big privilege for me to show you what we're doing at Civil Engineering with regards to a BTEC subject. We're a little bit fanatical about what we're doing, so please stop me if I talk too much. Especially now, recently I've read the book, The Google Story. Please go and read. That's a brilliant book. I'm not quite finished with it yet. What are you looking at there? Who can tell me? What are you looking at? You're looking at the most expensive piece of real estate in the world. That's what you're looking at, right? And it's true. Reading the book on the founders of Google and what they did, this is what they started off with, the two guys who were doing a doctorate at Stanford University, and they decided to go and implement the search engine, and there's a whole story about it, but this is where it all started. Two people's visions, a vision. At this stage, and just to talk about security-wise, maybe ask you another question. How do you think does the search Google search engine work? I mean, how can you type in a word and within half a second you can get thousands or millions of responses so quickly? How does it work? Yeah, these two very clever guys, two geeks, Brin and Page. And the one guy had this idea, I'm going to download, and it was a silly idea, I'm going to download the whole internet on my computer. And that's what they effectively did. They're downloading the whole internet on a bunch of computers and researching those computers, not the internet. So Google has got the biggest computer network in the world. They're building their own computers themselves. Being one of the biggest companies in the world, or maybe the biggest, I'm not quite sure, at one stage they were, I don't really see a problem with security. But I think that is something for investigation. A couple of things that we do, what I do, just start quickly with a very simple Gmail. Something that I do is when I start with a subject, I normally open a Gmail account for that particular subject. So I've got a couple of Gmail accounts. Now we are completely at the mercy of the network now. So I've got an account for my BTEC subject. Now, the nice thing now about Google is I can switch between accounts very easily. I can go to Gmail. And I can, for instance, now go switch account. I can sign into another account. I don't even use the work email anymore. My email now is tr8.cput@gmail.com. All emails that go to my normal email address, I just send forth to my Gmail account. I won't tell you offhand. You just maybe if you can explain.
Now in Gmail, there's a function under settings that you can actually set it up that it actually imports. You set up an account, it actually imports. You just specify your CPUT email address. And it actually imports all your CPUT email there. You can also send from that Freemish Gmail account as if you're sending from CPUT. But you can ask us afterwards.
Sometimes I do something and then I'm not sure how I did it. Now, you'll see that the way I use email, the way I teach my students to use email, you'll never see any emails in my email box. How does your email box look like? Thousands. tell my students you only have a maximum of about 5 or 10 emails in your inbox. As you deal with them, you take them away. You put them in other folders so that you can know what you must be, what you're working on. And of course, the nice thing is with Gmail, if a student responds to that email, it pops back into your inbox again. I can have a look at that. So what I've got here, I've got three at the moment. I'm teaching water and wastewater treatment. And this is, students only use this email address to communicate about the subject. So I split my mail from students with my work email. And I can easily switch between them, and I've got some ways of which I've got a notifier that notifies me where's my email and so on. I found that I'm fairly, the students sometimes find me intimidating when I start with class. So I thought of ways to ease into the class and try and relieve some of the tension when a class starts. So what I do nowadays is I give them this email address and I ask them to each send me an introduction to themselves. So they got to tell me a bit more about their family, about their background, about their hobbies and so on. Once I get these emails from them, I add them into contacts. You'll see there's a... So as soon as I get an email, I can actually have a look here, I'll show you. It's actually very simple. If I get an email from a person, I'll hold my cursor over it and I can go there and I say add to contacts. So I build up a list of my students. I actually build up a class list very quickly. Before the system has got a class list, I've got already got my class list because the students are sending me, introducing themselves to me. Can show you what my contact list looked like. And then, of course, I would put them into a student's group. So you can see I've got 49 students, and there's each one of the email addresses. And then I copy and paste their little CV they send me in there. So when I talk to her, I can actually look, you know, where's he from and a little bit of his background. So each of my students have got some little background. I used to, when I still had much more time, even let them send me a little photograph, and I had the photo here. So when students send me an email, I could see who it is and so on. And then I think very important, what I do then, I do respond to that email. And I had very good results, because the students send you something about himself or herself. And then I would just say, hi, Sipiwe. And then I'll look at his little CV and pick something out. Maybe he doesn't do much in his spare time. Okay, do some target shooting. And maybe you also like target shooting. So say, hi, Sipiwe. Yes, I also like target shooting. Or something like that. And then by calling the student by his name, just putting a little sentence about the fact that you've actually read it, and then one sentence saying, good luck with your studies. Now, very few people, a lot of students think that lecturers aren't interested in their performance. I tell you, you cannot believe, after I've sent these emails out, the difference in the attitude in the class. They're completely different to what I... Just that very fact that you took the time to send a very quick email using his first name and telling him good luck. That's one of my tricks I'm using, which maybe you can think about. That's basically what I want to say about Gmail. It's got a couple of lovely features, I think. For instance, when... Yes, I'll put everything in resolved. What's nice about this is, for instance, you can set it so it records the whole conversation between me and this guy. So he's written something and I've responded, and then he's responded. So you see the whole conversation on a particular thing, which is really nice. Another thing I also use is you can put your cursor over it and say recent conversations. You can see all the conversations that you had which this guy was included in. What I use that for is a student would tell me, listen, he did send me an email. That's easy. I can just look at recent conversations. If it's not there, I store all my emails, so he doesn't have a case if you tell me he did send it. What normally happens with this is he did send it, but he typed the address incorrectly or so on. So yeah, that's a couple of things I use Gmail for. That's why I love it, and I can see nowadays you can even make all these nice pictures behind it. And these pictures get updated every day, so they change as you do. Okay, that's communication medium in terms of Gmail. I must say that I only communicate with students on Gmail with regards to private matters, not really questions about the subject. So they only email me if they've got a problem that's particularly to them as an individual. I like a more open forum where if they have general questions about a subject, to get them to post it out there so everyone sees the question and the answers. Now, we run a subject, and Saki was one of the pioneers with this subject. It is called Project Management and Dissertation. When he left, I actually took over some of the project management side. What we've got there, it's the final year, it's the main subject in all the BTEC subjects, so everyone's got to do it. We've got a water engineering and transport engineering and structural engineering, but all the guys doing these streams have to do project management and dissertation. It's one subject, so-called mother subject, and it's divided into two modules, a dissertation, where they do a research dissertation, and project management. But each of those count as one full subject, so it's actually, say, a double credit subject. What we thought is, why do project management and do a project management project and do a research project also having a project? Why don't we just have one project and do the research dissertation and the project management, and the project management will help the student in completing and doing a proper job of his dissertation. So that was the idea. So that's why I was looking at different options, and I created a tool, you can call it in a website if you like. I made it custom because I had certain specific requirements. And it's not for everyone yet to do it. The only reason I'm showing it to you is because I'm using different Google tools in it. The main reason I went that route is because we start very early in the year. Start already. We register 22nd. Our first guys come in on the 26th. I need them all on the internet to get information. Actually, nowadays I'm putting pre-coursework on, so by the even as early in January, they have to access the website and to get information already. So I had to look at a tool specifically for me to be able, because we do not run this course, we run it in blocks. They come in 7 blocks a year, run over a whole year. They come in for a Thursday and a Friday, and then they go away, and we see them a month later. So a good communication tool is really, really important, because we don't see them in between. So I've decided to go for something like this. I just want to log out here and show you. I went to Google Sites, and in Google Sites you can create a website. Now, I needed something to do very quickly, get it up and running. I must say I spent, as you say, we're fanatical, I spent the whole of the December holidays working on this. I didn't have much holiday. But we wanted to see, I'm quite interested in IT, so I wanted to try this out. So, I'm still not logged out. Why am I not locked out. It should be locked out. Oh, that's what it looks like. It's skew there. Don't know why this thing has moved over now, but it doesn't matter. So that is what the site looks like. There's some general comments. This is a photo taken. We've got about 150 students in a lecture. We take them together. It consists of this one, project management 4 and dissertation 4. And we're lucky now to have two associate professors, which one has now just been promoted as the Assistant Dean of Research and Engineering. She's very involved. And we've got, they are mostly researchers, and we've also got the survey guys involved. But the thing is, I wanted the website, obviously, where students can log into, because I didn't want to share my academic material with the world. So we did basically what he showed you with sharing, and if a student would log in, I'm just going to use so all the students have to send me my Gmail account. So you can see there's a lot of tabs now that they see all the things that we use in the course. I can show you a couple of these things. You can create web pages such as this by just saying add a web page, for instance. This is now in Google Sites. And they've got different options. You can have a web page, you can have an announcement page, a file cabinet where you can see your different, you know, like Explorer, see your files, list, and so on. If you want to edit a page, it's very simple, really. You click on this edit, and then you can change the layout. You know, I've got a top column, a top row, and a bottom row, and three columns, and it will create these areas for you. You can put all kinds of stuff in it. You basically populate it with images and links and tables and calendars and groups and even more gadgets here, lots and lots of them. It's very powerful. But you can get kind of sidetracked. When I designed this thing for the first time, there's a gadget where you can put games on. I actually put a games tab there for them, but I took that off. That was thought as a bit unprofessional. But and I'll show you some of the stuff that I then decided to put on. Maybe just one thing, you'll see there's these links. Oh, the color scheme. Prof. Holden von bitterly complained about the orange. Prof. Fester is absolutely crazy about orange. And I've gone to a certain stage where I said, listen, I'm not changing anything. So you'll never find somebody happy with a color scheme. You'll have to just go with whatever. Maybe next year I can change. It's got all these templates that you can make. Anyway,
okay, I'll just make sure. I'm also teaching the research methodology for the fourth year BTEC public relations advice. And the problem is that they don't really bring computers to class. So do you hope that they will, out of class, go onto these sites? Or is it ideal if you can do collaboration in class?
You see, the subject is such that I've got a day and a half to lecture, both of us. So we cram in a day and a half of lectures and we send them out. And they, we don't demonstrate too much of this. They have to kind of find their own way. And I'll show you whether they did find their own way in this presentation. But there's a lot of students. 60% of my students sit with laptops, with Android phones, with tablets. And I actually tell them to close their laptops and rather concentrate on what I'm saying. But I can speak to you more about this whole system. I'm only involved in the project management side, and I can't take any credit for what these guys have done. And they run a fantastic, they've got an international research unit at Civil Engineering, collaborating with Sweden, India, don't know what else. They really excellent. This guy was a senior researcher at the CSIR as well. You know, so we have, I don't know, you know, I'm not involved with that. They are streets ahead of me. So maybe you can chat to them.
Yes. Is this available for everybody or just for your students?
No, just for my students. I've got a guest login that I'll give you that you can go for a quick quiz and then I'll take you off again. Now I'll give you a guest login. It's actually very simple. I open a Gmail account with a, say, guest@gmail.com, and you can actually send me your Gmail account and I can put you on for a little while. So rather, maybe if you want to, please send me. I'll give you my email address again later afterwards if you want to go and have a squiz what's happening here. But please don't use, well, obviously, the material of Prof. Haldenwang and so on without his and Professor Fester's consent, please. You can use my project management theory stuff anytime. Okay, a couple of things. I said you can create a web page, but you can also create an announcement page. I use that quite, you can see. And this is where I post announcements. It's very simple. You just click on new post, put it in, and press enter, and everyone can see the announcements. Then, also, I'm going to show you some of the Google applications. You can use these things separately. You don't have to use it in a website. I mean, I can show you my program. Now, with project management theory, I believe that we have to set an example to the students. We can't have bad planning and expect them to have good planning. So we put in and we do detailed planning of the whole year. Everything that must be handed in, all the dates, and we keep religiously to it, deadlines. So for us to give them a program is very important. So the program page is really a page with the Google Calendar. I just want to reload this. With a Google Calendar embedded in it. But you can use Google Calendar on its own. For instance, there I've got the block is running. It's even got can set the reminder that sends you a reminder by email about when this block is. Students, you can edit it. And what's quite cool about this is that you can actually get a custom-made South African holidays as well in it, which will put it all in for you. There we go. So the students can go through this and look at April. There's a block. There's got to be a literature review handed in here. They can see when it must be handed in, what they must hand in, and so on. Also,
they can copy onto their own calendar.
Yes. A student came to me and said, "Listen, you want to synchronize? You want to have this on his cell phone?" So I shared it with, like, he shared the document. I shared the calendar with my student, and then he had it on his cell phone. Because it will import all this stuff onto his calendar, and he can then, you know, build up his. So that is quite nice. He's the only one that asked for that, though. The rest just go here. What I like about this calendar, it's got an agenda, and of course also not any year. They can actually have it to look, check the whole year's events, and you can watch it by month. The same with Google Calendar too. You can just choose agenda. And you'll see everything that's there. We've just embedded that into the website. We felt that we want a bit of an integrated approach so that they don't jump around too much and get confused, because these students get confused pretty quickly. Also with regards to these links, I didn't tell you, what's really nice, and a lot of you are using Dropbox or SugarSync. If you don't, please, maybe we should have a session on cloud storage. What's really nice is now you don't have this. In the old days when I created the website, you have to FTP all your files up onto a server, and then you don't know which is the latest one that you've put up. And also with Dropbox, for instance, you dump it all in a file on your computer and it gets automatically updated onto the internet. And you can actually get a link, and you just put the link there. If the student clicks on it, he downloads your file. So for instance, if I click here on the program, I've made a PDF file. And there's this program as well in document form if he doesn't want to look through the calendar. Okay, I'm going very quickly because there's quite a little things I want to show you. And then I had this vision of writing blogs, and I only got one blog out so far. And I used Blogger, which is, and again, you can use it separately. I just embedded it in one. And I just, at that point in time, I read the autobiography of Steve Jobs, and he was talking about, he was known for the saying, the journey is the reward. If you know, it's the traveling there, it's not, the reward is not always the end, but while doing it. So I wrote, in terms of project management, try and write a bit of a philosophical article. And I also thought, the guys are probably not reading it in any case, but that was in December, and I really need to write another one. But if you go to Blogger is another Google tool. Yeah, so I had about 448 page views, but I must say that's not a read. They probably just clicked on it and saw it and then clicked on something else. But at least they clicked 448 times on this blog. That is Google's Blogger. Then, of course, I'm using this as a communication tool. So I'm not using this as to write tests and all these other fancy stuff. This is really just communication, talking to students. For those of you involved in research, in dissertations with students, if you let them go for a month, they feel very isolated. They feel very alone. And if you can just keep talking to them, you need very good communication tools. That's why I'm employing different things. As you can see, even here, I'm trying to look at some nice sayings to keep them motivated and things like that, just to try, because we've got a very big dropout in the subject. But of course, here under, a web page with links on it. This is things like the study guide and documents. There's a couple of videos that I got off YouTube on the history of project management. Most of these are documents, things that we dealt with in class. I do not print out things for students. They are lucky if they get the student guide in hard copy. I give everything in electronic format. I don't waste my time with photocopy. So I put everything in electronic form. Whether they print it out or what they do, well, that's their story. Here, for instance, we've done the third block already. I give them the assignment cover sheets and so forth.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sure.
Do you load your whole year's presentations, for example? Do you do it per block and things like that?
What I do is after the block I post. But every year students tell me, post it before, so they've got it when they get there. But then when I do that, they don't come to class because they've seen everything. So I've just decided, no, I give it to them the weekend. The Friday I finish my class, I then put it that weekend, I put it on. So I don't mind working on Saturdays, Sundays, on this stuff. I love this. Right, so yeah, this is then my project management documentation on the, there's another one for the...
Just a quick one on that.
Yes, sure.
You don't have a selective release where you can set dates for this to be made available or not?
No.
No, I'm just asking.
No. I don't know, maybe there is, but because I'm running it on myself, I just quickly copy a link and... For me to put a link in there is just, I go in here, copy and paste it, and then stick the link in, and I'm done.
And all the stuff is in Dropbox, so you just link in the Dropbox.
Yes. I mean, as I update stuff, I would put it, maybe, you've seen here under announcements, under the program. If I then, because that's another problem, when do the student know that I've updated a document? So then I do this. The first post won't be anything, but then I would place a, it's in red, say I've revised it and on the 9th of March. But you'll see what I do is I do communicate this stuff by Gmail. I'll show you some other communication mediums I use. The dissertation info, this is now here Prof. Haldenwang puts in the whole year stuff on here, one time, and it's all there. Literature review, writing a proposal, writing the dissertation, they've got a whole template. They're quite fortunate. The BTECs don't have to create a whole dissertation. They get the template, they fill in the openings. Right, so we don't let them spend all their time in formatting the document. They get a formatted document. But that is a something for another day, plagiarism and all these things. How much time have I got? Okay. Then what I do, another Google tool I use is Google Groups. Now Google Groups is a discussion tool. Right, so I've got a discussion tool for theory, for project management, and for dissertation. Now again, here I've just embedded Google Groups into this in here. So you can see there was discussions recently. Let me just see there. Let me see a nice one. They were talking about the communication protocol. There was 141 views, 8 posts. Now, if I click on there, you can see what happened here. That's where people have posted and people have responded to, and they will start talking to each other, posting questions. This is another way, communication tool I like to use. You don't have to use it in a website like this. You can simply go to Google Groups. Just hang in there, the best is still to come. I've done two groups, a project management theory group and a dissertation group. And all this that they are entering there, you can just set it up. It's very easy to set up, and their students can post their questions. And as you can see, the replies and so on. But what is really fantastic about this is Google Groups has got its own email address. So as soon as that student posts a post here, it sends an email to me in my email box. I don't have to come here to respond. I send the email back. I respond to the email and it gets posted on the web automatically. So I do not have to access my site. Right? I don't know, even know, because it happens so automatically that I don't know. So if, let's say I want to post something on the internet, I do not have to open the site. I type in an email and I send it to, not sure, let me just have a look here. I can't see things so fast. I think it's something like, maybe I can quickly have a look if I can find it.
matter whether it's on your CPUT account or your Gmail account.
No, you just send it to that address, and it gets posted on the internet. And if I reply to one of those, the reply gets posted, and all the students can read it. There it is. It's so my address is btpmtheory@gmail.com. Now they've just made it bttheory@googlegroups.com. So if I email that, it will post it on the internet for me. And if I reply to one of those, it will post it, which I find quite nice. Nice feature. So this I use for that students post questions, talk to each other, not the Gmail. Gmail is only for a personal type of queries. And you can see they are accessing it quite a bit. Another thing that I use, and somebody asked this, I use forms. Here I just embedded a form into the... And I think it's pretty powerful. I just ran a quick survey of my students. What do you think of this website? And here you can see I've used a scale. I don't know if you can see it so well there. From I said, how easy was it to use the first time that you used the site? So I wanted to gather, how did they feel the first time they got into the site? So a scale from very easy to difficult. Oh, and there's a grid one. I asked them from junk to awesome. They must rate features, downtime, how easy to navigate, and so on. There's one where you can pull down. I say, do you think the website add value to your subject? Not sure, without any doubt. I think so. Not a chance. And then they submit this. Okay, I can show you the results. I've got about 140, 150 students. Within 3 or 4 days, I've got a third of the responses of my class. Okay, I just need to go to Google Doc. I don't think it's going to take me straight there. Show you what it looks like. You've been in Google Docs now. Now, you know about Excel, you've used conditional formatting where you can make it different colors. Now, I've made this one, this is the form that I've done, and I've done conditional formatting, and if I can brag a bit, I've red and orange is not so good, blue is the best, and so on. And this is what it looks like, the responses. You can see the responses came from the 16th to the 22nd. What is that? Who's the math guy? That's 6 days. I got 53 responses out of a class of 100. And what I did with that is you can change the home page. When you log onto the site, you can decide which one do they see first. So what I did for this couple of days, I made the survey the main page. So when they log on, it's in their face. They just have to do it. But what's nice, somebody said, now, this sometimes don't give you a very nice view. You can go and get show a summary of responses. And you can see it gives... I really like it, in terms of this question, how difficult was it for them to, when they first use it, I get 96% from okay to very easy. So it looks like the students have got quite good results. If it were bad, I wouldn't have shown it to you. Right, and then, do you think the website add value to your subject? And I'm also very glad to report that 96% do definitely think so. This not sure is the first one, so the guy obviously didn't decide not to change it, so maybe it's 100%. Right, so very nice in Google Docs. But what I can show you is, that maybe wasn't shown to you, is edit the form. You can make a very nice form up, and you can choose off themes. And that's how you see those beautiful books and things. You can choose all these themes to make your survey look nice, right? But also, this, you don't have to use it in a website. You can set up this, and here's a link. You can just copy it, copy the link address. You can send it to your students. They just go on the internet, they stick it in here, and they enter, and they'll see your survey. So you set up the survey, get that link, send it to, they click on it, and they fill it in, and all the responses come onto your Google Docs. Very easy. Very, very easy. I used to use something, SurveyMonkey. I used Quick Surveys. It's much better than this. But you have to pay for it, and it sticks all, and I want everything for free. Right? And that's why I use Google as well. So it sticks all these adverts in it, and it looked terrible. So I've gone for this now. As I said, I'm coming to the best now. Other stuff I'm using is maybe some of you don't do project manage, won't be used to this. I use Gantt. It's a project management software from Google to do Gantt charts. The students use this software in project management. I hope it comes up. I must just open the project. Open from, I think it's from the Gantt cloud. There we go. I really wanted to show it to you. There we go. Something like this. This is not the correct one, but basically Gantt charts and so on. I've got a much nicer one, but I'm going to show that to you now. Okay, then the last thing that I found and what is really nice is I wanted to know about, do students use this website? And Google has got Google Analytics. Now, Google Analytics you can also use on your own website. You don't have to use it with sites. Show you what Google Analytics look like. What you do, you register with Google Analytics and it will generate a code. A code like this, and you can actually put it, if you design websites, you can put it in the headers. If you use sites, you just take this code and you actually, under manage sites, you put the code in here, in there, and then Google will track your site. Now this is fascinating to me. I can show you, this will show you the traffic on the site, and if I just show you, I've started on the 22nd of Jan. It's now exactly 2 months. There's the number of hits I had so far. No, it's not 20, it's 20,000 page views. How's that? So the guys have been using it. I can see the traffic. I joke with the students, you know, there's the highest peak is there. It's 248 views on that day. And I asked them, what was that day? Tell me. Guess what that day was? It was a Sunday, and guess what happened the Monday? They had to hand in their first tutorial. So I showed, I mean, they all start to do their tutorials, and you all know as lecturers, that's what happens. Google has also started in the beta version where you can, in real time, see who's on your, or what's the traffic on the site. So if you click on real time, it says probably not students, I'm at least on it. Oh, no, there's a couple of guys on the site. So you track them immediately. You can see there's the three people are in Cape Town. And what page is there at this moment accessing? Sometimes I just sit and look at this thing. But there's lots more, you know, you can... standard reporting. I can, for instance, look at all kinds of stuff. I can look at locations. It can tell me, you know, where there's... I've got quite a few people all over South Africa that is coming. if I look at cities, most of my students, you can see 78% of the students are in Cape Town, but there's in Pretoria, Joburg. I don't know where London in England comes from, who's accessing it from there. Germiston, and there's guys in Maseru and so on as well. Okay, that was quite a mouthful. I don't know if you've got questions. But this is not for everybody to do this, I suppose. I spent a good 6 weeks in trying to put all this stuff together. But I just want to show you what can be done using Google. I'm not sure. I haven't really had time to look at it, but I'm not too with the amount of traffic I've got, you know, I know the students are there and they really want to. But I think there's probably better system we can actually track individual students. But also I've got 200 students. I'm not tracking individual people. If they don't want to be there, then they mustn't be there.
Well, if you get something like 4 or 4 months,
yes.
I'm almost like 5 students can actually make you try and track and see whether they are using the materials.
But you know what they tell you? No, when their friend accessed it, they got it from their friend. And then they didn't access the site, they got it through their friend. Or they sat together accessing the site. They got all these stories. Sorry, but
I really want to know, is this making a difference in terms of getting a better quality?
What I can tell you, I've had very little complaints. And if I look at the comments on this, okay, it's not a lot of comments, but I've got some bad comments and good comments. But yeah, there's guys who say, who give me some input. There's others who said it's great, it's wonderful, blah, blah, you know, all that. So all I can measure it against is do students complain? If students don't complain, then it is working. They will complain very quickly. See, it's also custom made. It's specifically for my particular needs. This might not be for somebody else's needs. They need something else. I just looked at, you know, there's so many tools available. I'm not here to actually tell you this is the way to go. It is just it worked for me. You could, but I think I'm not a big blogger, but I'm sure they can also put links. But I could take all the links that they send me and I could put it on the website. I could do that, yes. But I would encourage, I think it'd probably be better if I would do it, if they will all give me their links and I will post. So I can't really leave them up to them. So I will have to do it. Yeah, and then I'll just post a bunch of links. On there. Yeah. If I see one of these tools don't work, I'll just take it off. You see, there's all my pages, and it looks exactly the same as what Ruth showed you. For each page, I can say I've got page level permissions, so I can set permissions on each page. As you can see there, on the home, everyone can see it. On this page, you can see it's private, this particular page. And then I've got all my students, you can see there's all 140 odd students. They can all just view. I almost made the mistake one time to say they could edit, and you can imagine what they would have done with my site. And that's all, you actually just do it there, just like he showed you. You set the permission to the pages, and that's the only pages they can see. But...